Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, who's suffering from a cold, and with me as always,
Mike,
who's not suffering from a cold.
So, not suffering.
Yeah. And of course, right as I say that, I'm going to start coughing. This episode will probably be slightly more choppy. Normally, we record them straight through, and there's no interruptions, no issues. If I get into a coughing fit, you may notice that it pauses and keeps going. But in any case, it is January 10th, 9th, 10th, January 10th, first, of course, coughing, first cast, 2015, and we're officially on iTunes. We're real. We're like, we're the real deal now. You can use iTunes to search for us in the podcast section under the Disconnected Gamers podcast. If you just search Disconnected Gamers, it shows up. It's, you don't have to like type the whole thing out, but that would be the only like super big exciting news that I think
we've got. The beginning of the year.
Yeah, the beginning of the year. So for my New Year's resolution, I already beat it. I'm done. I don't have to do anything for the rest of the year.
Boom. Easy. And I didn't have one, so.
Yeah, I just.
We both win.
Yeah, it took me a while to figure it out, because there's a plugin for the WordPress, and it sets it all up for you, and basically you just kind of post the posts as normal, and it automatically puts it in your RSS thing so that iTunes can see it. But I needed to actually read it, because it creates a link for you, because you have to submit it to iTunes with a link. And I had no idea that it had created the link for me. So I just kept trying to submit it from the link to the actual website. And that's not how it works. And that's why it kept giving me the thing saying I wasn't doing it right.
Oh, gotcha.
But then when I finally was just like, screw it, I'm just going to read this thing line by line until I figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, now we're on iTunes. It was actually, I'm impressed at how quickly it went through. Because it was like I submitted it. I got an email that day saying they were reviewing it, and then the next day it was up, and then that email said it wouldn't be searchable for 2 days, and it was searchable by the end of the day.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, because they had emailed me a link with a whole bunch of numbers and gibberish, and it went right to it on my phone. So I was like, oh, cool. So I was able to subscribe right from my phone. Not that it, it's kind of cheap. I'm probably not going to listen to the podcast myself, but I'm a fake subscriber.
Right. Yeah. I'm not a fan of going back and listening to my own work. I don't like hearing my voice.
My voice. Yeah. It's kind of weird. And it's going to be even weirder here because I have to listen to the podcast each time to edit the stuff. Mm-hmm. It's going to be weird now because it's going to be my voice is going to sound different solely because I'm sick.
Right.
Which in and of itself is, annoying.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Just work.
Nothing exciting?
Nope, nothing big. Just work as always.
Yeah. I actually have not been working because I've been sick, so I've pretty much been home doing absolutely nothing. And currently, I'm changing the battery on the beeper to my car. Because I finally went on eBay and was just like, I bet I can get these way cheaper than just like buying them at AutoZone. And it turns out I can get 10 for the price of 1 at AutoZone. So I got 10, and now I'm changing all of them. I mean, there's only 2, so all 2 of them.
Right. But, hey, getting changed.
Yeah. Well, and I don't have a garage door opener for my car. Not that I don't park it in the garage, but I go in through the garage usually.
Right.
And so now I'll be able to actually open the garage instead of, getting out and punching in the numbers. It'll be open, as I get out of the car.
Damn, oh, that works.
This battery, why do they do this? Why do you do this to me?
What's going on?
I can't, it's not like one of those, normal things where the battery's just kind of sitting there. It's there we go. It's, clipped in. So I couldn't get the damn battery free. But it's I don't want to pry too much and then, break the thing. We're doing it live, everybody. New battery. Write the date on it so that if I have to remember when the hell I put this thing in, 1 of 14. That was the other thing. Did I tell you how I had to change change my brother's car battery? I told you that.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, we were in the middle of a we were in the middle of that strike. That's right. I didn't remember that. That was a fun day.
Yeah. Always fun to leave. And
yeah, always something.
Go help someone out.
Yeah, well, because it wasn't like I was expecting to have to go do that either. I was just kind of like, la da 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 da. I'm sick. I'm home. I'm trying to rest. Trying to get better. And then all of a sudden, it's like phone call. Hey, the car won't start.
Right.
It's like, tell somebody who cares. Except I'm the only way I had to fix it. So whatever. But it's been like in the teens, so it's been pretty cold. So in that sense, I give him the benefit of the doubt. Probably isn't right. His fault that the, you know, battery died. It's just been really, really, really cold. Okay. And moment of truth. I don't know if it's working, but It's got a new battery.
New battery now?
Yeah, I'm doing that. Gaming, anything new? I've been playing that the Duke Nukem,
yeah,
the free Duke Nukem game on the Vita.
It's been fun. We tried the multiplayer, which was really laggy.
Yeah, it's super super laggy,
broken.
But it, like it's a like the thing is one, it's not the Duke. It's not Duke Nukem Forever. So everybody who thinks it is, it's not Duke Nukem Forever.
No.
It's the old school Duke Nukem 3D, like that you played on like your Windows
PC,
95 machine.
Yeah. Right?
So it's a ton of fun if you're playing it like single player, But multiplayer we tried it a couple times and it was
very choppy,
Laggy. And even when I played a regular match just against random, same deal, super super choppy.
Yeah,
I mean that was on the Vita,
right?
It
yeah.
is on PS3 as well, and we haven't tried that.
Test that out, yeah.
Damn it!
Yeah, and then. Duke Nukem, and then Destiny, of course, and then still waiting for the Resident Evil remake.
That's out soon, though, right?
The 20th, I believe.
Yeah, so you get time. You're getting there.
It's cross-buy, so if you pre-order it, you'll get it for PS3 and all that.
Oh, and all PS4. Goodness.
Yep.
Nice. Is it just the original?
No, it's the game. It's a remake of the GameCube, or a prettier version of the GameCube version.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
but it's not. Are they doing 0-2 or just
allegedly they're gonna remaster 0? Yeah, which I hope they do, and then just release it like a double pack. I don't care. I'll buy it again because I'm crazy and I love Resident Evil.
Right. Yeah, I mean they're good games. I don't play them, but they're good games.
Right.
I only play the co-op ones. It'd be kind of cool if they remade them with co-op features, but I can understand how that would kind of break the game because...
Well, I mean, 0 would make sense because you technically get to play co-op just not with a second actual... just not. You don't get to play with an actual person. You
right,
still have a character that can follow you around and stuff like that.
Right, the guy, the convict guy. Because you play as the medic. You play as the medic person.
Well, you could play as either of them.
Oh, is it kind of like Code Veronica then?
Well, you could switch back and forth because they follow each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the opposite of like Resident Evil 5 where you're always going with either Chris or Sheva, but you can't switch between the two.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, of course, there's specific puzzles you need to work together for, and then there's parts you split up. And
right. The usual.
Mm-hmm. Except it was actually scary.
Weren't you on a train?
You start on a train, and then you go into a facility.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, that's my whole gaming thing. What about you?
Honestly, just... it's funny. I really, really don't want to play Destiny, but at the same time... It's the only game I know I can just jump into and not care.
Right.
And I'm not... It's not like I can play Destiny and get stuck. Because if I can't beat a strike, I can get somebody to help me. mm-hmm. or not do it.
Right, yeah.
And it doesn't, like, hinder my ability to play the game, which is nice. I really, really want to start playing the multiplayer more, but I don't at the same time.
Yeah, I'm just no good at it.
Like, I'll play it to do bounties to level up, because mm-hmm. I think I feel like I level up faster in multiplayer than I do in the same amount of time, like, on patrol.
Right.
But, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I want to plug in the PS3, and I want to try to play Duke Nukem on the PS3. I also want to play, there was another game I thought that was on the PS3 this week, this month from PS Plus. Was it
Prototype? DuckTales.
Oh, DuckTales.
Prototype 2 and DuckTales, yeah.
DuckTales. I really want to play DuckTales.
I do want to play that, yeah.
Because I love, I mean, I have the original on NES, but...
Mastered.
I kind of want to play the new one and see what it's like.
Or I thought you bought it, or you were going to buy it, but it was a code.
It was a code, and it was a code. The quote, air quotes, physical copy was just a game.
Yeah, and then they released a download voucher
with a pin in a case. Yeah, and then apparently they later released an actual physical copy, but I still didn't buy it because I was so annoyed.
Right.
I just said, forget you guys.
Yeah.
Interesting. This is something I'm just looking up right now. Apparently, all of the 3DSs are $30 off.
Yep.
At GameStop.
Pretty solid deal.
Yeah, I want the new one.
Yeah, which is no idea.
Yeah, not coming to the United States anytime soon. But it seems weird that they're discounting all of these.
I'm assuming that they're just getting ready for the sale, or selling it, you know, cheaper, and then getting ready to...
Right, remove the get rid of all that inventory. That makes sense. Well, because it's like, here's the other thing I don't get. Like, I don't understand why anybody would buy the regular black 3DS XL for $170 when you can get a 3DS XL with Smash Brothers or Pokemon for, like, the same price. I mean, it all says pick up at store, check availability, so I'm assuming that they're probably out of them. Or, like, it's super limited quantities, but...
Right, yeah, because they're limited bundles.
I don't know. It seems kind of fishy. I do really want one, but...
It's just that, yeah.
It's just like, I really don't want to spend the money. I mean, it's not so much that I don't want to spend the money. I don't think it's not a valuable thing to have, but currently I don't want to buy it. Hey, right. I didn't see this. The PS4 movie bundle for $3.99. You get a PS4, you get the silver headset, and you get a download code for 22 Jump Street.
Nice.
I mean, that's not really... I wouldn't call that, like, a movie bundle, because you're only getting one movie, but the free silver headset is pretty solid.
Yeah. Not bad. In the silver, it's wired, yep.
Yeah, the silver is the wired. Alright, let's go look at PlayStation 4 accessories, because I really... I mean, I managed to fix my headset, but it's getting close.
Yeah, here soon I'll need a new one.
Yeah, the gold is $99.
Basically what I paid for mine.
Yeah. Let's see. Headsets and mics.
See if Fry's Electronics has any deals.
Oh, is there a Fry? There's no Fry's near me.
Neither, but that's where I ordered my headset from. And
oh, did they just ship it?
99 straight, no tax, nothing. Free shipping and everything.
Yeah, Amazon charges tax now. For me, at least. It sucks. The only real advantage to buying from Amazon is I don't have to get up.
Right, that, and if you have Prime.
Yeah, I didn't renew my Prime.
Yeah, I'd try the trial.
I had it for 1 year for the $80, but then it went up to 100, and I was like, no thanks. Because I'm pretty sure my brother has it, so if I really need something, and if I need his Amazon Prime, I'll just ask for the thing so I can watch movies. Because that's all I do, is I would just watch movies on the PS4.
Right.
Actually, that's what I've been doing a lot of, is Netflix. Just, like, binge marathoning Burn Notice. I'm still not even done, because now I've been playing Destiny again. But, and then, you know what, actually, we'll sidetrack, because we had an interesting conversation. We were playing games the other day about, like, statues and collectible things, you know, like your gaming swag. And, yep. And, cause, and it's only probably because I'm looking at the Sucker Punch Cup and the Last of Us bricks. Like, I just don't know. And I have, like, I've got some little Halo things that I've had forever. These were from, like, Halo 2. But they're part of, like, an actual Halo strategy game. And they have, like, they're on little pedestals. And if you rotate the pedestal, it's got, like, there's a whole bunch of numbers. And it's, like, damage and hit counts and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I just bought them to, like, stick them on my desk. Because I have a little warthog with a couple Spartans in it. But I don't really, I don't know, I can't see myself ever wanting to buy a collector's edition of a game just to get whatever the random junk is that comes with it. And I don't say junk, because, I mean, most of it's well made. Like, you know, the Tales of Zillia unboxing Sarah did when she got Zillia, that statue's pretty dope. I mean, it's, right. And I'm not, I don't know why I said dope. Stupid. It's really nice. It's nicely made. She even said it feels pretty sturdy. It looked pretty sizable too. You know, it's like the same thing with like people who buy the Call of Duty ones. Like, I don't know why you think that Call of Duty ones would be valuable. You know, the Tales of Zillia one, I bet will end up being valuable because not that many people have it. Mm-hmm. You know, same deal with, like, the post-pandemic Last of Us. You know, there were only X amount of them, to the point where they didn't even have it. You know, this was an insider discussion that I had with some friends at Naughty Dog, but they didn't even have enough for themselves.
Oh, wow.
You know, they had to kind of decide who at the studio got them and whose, you know, bosses got them, because, like, Sony themselves totally, misjudged. How many they needed to keep, because they had like so many, they had already been shipped out because they were trying to make sure that they had them for launch, and they were running the clock, and like I guess they ended up with like, you know, X amount of post pandemic sets, and then like they managed to get like X amount of statues. Basically, the short version was they didn't have enough, and so they had X amount of full sets, full box sets, and then they had like a handful of statues. Because, like, I guess maybe they had, like, extra runs of the statues, but not, like, the rest of the components. And so they had to, like, decide kind of, like, who got it. Mm-hmm. But even, like, but it's like, yeah, that post-pandemic is legit valuable because there were so few of them. But it's like, you know, it'd be like buying a copy of Call of Duty and never opening it. Mm-hmm. You know, because you think it's going to, like, it's not... a Nintendo game. It's not a Sega game. It's not Super Nintendo. It's not an N64 game. You know, there were so few games produced back in the day. It's like the Stadium, the NES Stadium Fitness game. There was that was just like, it was at like $99,000. And they said it's not going to sell because people are just bidding it up to screw somebody over.
Yep.
And they said on average it's probably 20,000 to 30,000 is more likely what it'll get, but you know, nobody's gonna pay anything for a Call of Duty game.
Even if you
saved it unwrapped and like waited 50 years, like nobody's gonna be like, oh man, I can't find a copy of this. Like there are just too many out there,
right?
And that's the real bummer about GameStop, like how they don't sell the older games anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they just kind of, like, if somebody trades them in, one, I feel like they give you nothing for them. But, like, two, you should just turn
around. It depends on how old.
Like, NES games? I mean, are they giving you anything for that? Will they even take them?
No, they won't even take it.
Yeah.
If it's not, basically, if it's not PS3 to Xbox One, they're not going to take it.
Yeah.
Anything else is considered classic now.
Right.
So, like, PS2 and GameCube and all that, Wii, all considered classic.
That's a really, really annoying thing about the GameStop near me, right? I went in I don't remember what I was picking up. It could have been Last of Us Remastered. It could have been something else, but, it could have been Master Chief Collection. So I go in and like, there's a giant ass line. So I'm like, I'm not going to wait in the line. I'll just wait till they leave rather than stand there and do nothing with my time. So I'm like going through the used games, right? And I really, really hate the way they have it done. It's like the most, like, it's the shittiest way you could possibly set up games, right? You've got this little rolling rack kiosk thing, and it's got these little trays, yeah. And there's just like 8 billion discs in little slip cases.
Yep.
And the only way to figure out what it is to literally look at each one of them. Mm-hmm. And they're not, you know, they may have originally been in alphabetical order, but like every single fucking kid, or adult, I'm sure there's adults doing it too, that grabs the games from the thing, puts them in another, put it in a fucking other spot.
Yep.
Grinds my gears. Because all I want to do is like, oh man, there was that PS3 game that I remember playing like once at my friend's house, and it was pretty cool. And, you know, maybe I'll remember what it was when I look at the disc. But it's like, I'm not going to spend 4 hours to flip through all those damn
CDs. Right, just to find it.
Yep. And the worst is they do it with fucking DS games, too.
Oh, yeah, they'll have it in that case.
No, not even. Like, I'd rather the case. I'd rather the...
At ours, they have it in, like, not a case, not the cases, but it's like a...
It's a big glass...
Like a... Yeah, yeah.
Like a jewelry case. Yeah, a jewelry case, yeah. Yeah, those I love, because I can look at everything. You know? And, like, mm-hmm. I can scan it really quickly and, you know, right, look at what I want. No, they had the DS games at the front counter, on the counter, in, like, a fucking box within the sleeves.
That's weird.
And instead of, like, you know how the disc sleeve has, like, the big, open, clear cellophane thing so you can see the whole disc?
Yep.
Well, the DS ones had, like, a little small square of plastic so you could see the DS game. Except 90% of them had, like, been pushed down, or, like, the physical packaging itself doesn't actually keep them in that spot. So most of the games, I couldn't even tell what the hell they were.
That's annoying.
And I was like, damn it, because I might pick up, you know, I might spend, like, $4 on a couple DS games, because they were, like, $1 a piece. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? I have an original DS. I'll play them. I don't really care. Get the other Pokemon games I don't have. Or the old Mario games that I don't have. Yeah, I was kind of annoyed. Thought that was kind of a waste of time. I think for them, maybe on their end of it, it seems like a beneficial thing to do. But for me, I'm just like, it's so frustratingly hard to find something I want. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty much... And forget the website. I mean, forget trying to use the GameStop website to find, like, old games. It's like you get to sift through, like, 700 things and, you know, not... It's not like they're all actually in stock. They just list the item because at one point they did have a SKU for it.
Right.
Not cool.
Yeah.
So, I don't...
It's not really well done at all.
And, you know, I don't like going into GameStop to begin with because I really hate that when I pick up a fucking game, they put a sticker on it or they open the case. I mean, obviously, if it's a pre-order and you get it on the day...
Yeah, you get the sealed copy.
You get the sealed copy, but that's why I generally just go to Target.
I hate getting the unsealed copies. Like, so, sometimes I'll just deal with it, but half the times I'm like, do you have a sealed copy?
Yeah.
Because I'm not a big fan of the sticker, because you take it off and it leaves that residue. And,
yeah, it's like, hey, yeah. I'm collecting this. I'm not going to sell it back to you for $2. Come on.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know, I collect my games. I have, you know, a collection. I have, you know, probably, I don't know, I probably have 300 or 400 video games at this point. Right. Considering I have over 100 in NES. It's like, I have over 100 on one console, and that's not including duplicates. Because I have multiple copies of the Zelda. I have multiple copies of the original Zelda. I think I only have one of Zelda 2. But I probably have, like, 4 Super Mario Brothers 3s. You know, a couple Super Mario Brothers. A couple of the Mario Brothers before it was Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
You know, the Duck Hunt, Mario mm-hmm. Brothers.
Combo.
Then, yeah, the combo. I think I have, like, 2 of those. I've got 2 ice hockeys for sure. Yeah, I don't know. We have a bunch. I have, like, a whole list, but I haven't actually invested in, like, one of the software programs or websites that actually helps you store it all. And I really probably should. Honestly, what I had done was I just went through the bin and I had mm-hmm. typed them all into an Excel sheet and I made multiple pages and each page was a different console.
Right.
And I just typed in the name of each game. Like, and then I graded it, you know, and I know that, like, oh, I can't grade the games because if it's not sealed in a, you know, hermetically sealed in a fucking plastic box. It's not truly an A-plus game. And I'm like, no, fuck you. The cart is fucking mint. The label is mint. There's no nicks, no scrapes, no writing on it. Right. That's a fucking A. That's an A. Like, it's A-plus quality. It's fucking mint. You know, box. Yes or no. And I put, you know, I think I put just the next tab over. It was like box. And it was like yes, no, or manual only, or box, you know, has creases.
Right.
Because a lot of them, I actually do have a lot of the boxes. And then I have my mini super collection of super valuable full sets, which is both Zeldas,
nice.
The original Mario Brothers, Ghosts and Goblins, Jeopardy, Ice Climbers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I found them on, it was on Craigslist. I remember looking, because that was one summer where I was super, super collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is I'd just go on and, you know, Nintendo games, NES games,
yeah.
Console, whatever, retro. And there was a person who had a listing, and it was, you know, found all this stuff up in the attic.
Don't need it.
Don't want it. Know it's probably worth something, but make an offer. So I was like,
Nice.
So they had an N64 with a whole bunch of N64 games.
Ooh.
And Conker's Bad Fur Day box, no game. And then they had some random cables for, like, ColecoVision or Atari or, like, one of the older systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next image, it was a whole bunch of NES boxes. There were nine. And all NES boxes, and they all looked mint, like, perfect. And they were like, there's no games, it's just the boxes. So I was like, shit. I was like, I gotta get on this. So I'm like, I send the guy an email, and I'm like, type, and, I was like, hey, I saw that you have the the Nintendo boxes. You know, I'd like to get the Nintendo boxes and the Conker's Bad Fur Day box.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you $100 for all of them.
Right.
And so he emails back and he goes, you know there's no games, right? And I was like, so I emailed back and I was like, yes, I know there's no games. I was like, my brother used to have these games as a kid. I was like, and I figured if I got him the boxes and maybe made a thing out of it, he might think it was kind of neat, you know? And
right.
So the guy was like, okay, cool. Yeah, here's the address. Like, come pick him up. And so...
Nice.
He's like 2 hours north of where I live. And I'm like, man, this is kind of a hike to drive for these things. But they look like they're in amazing shape, so I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to go do it. So I drive up there, and I... You know, I knock at the door, and he's got them, like, all set aside, and he hands them over to me, and I literally, like, was like, I didn't say it out loud, but I was like, holy shit. They're literally fucking perfect. The only thing they were missing was the game. So, basically, I assume the guy that I bought them from was the son who had these games, because he was clearing out his parents' house, because they, like, moved to a nursing home or something. And,
right.
So I have to assume that most of these games were, like, his, or maybe he had a sibling or something. And they carefully took the games out of the boxes and then sealed the boxes. The boxes are so mint that literally every time I open the box, it, like, starts to crease. Like, it actually is, like, it's difficult. It's as if it's if they opened it once and put it back in. Like, the box still is, like, they're still crisp. You know, like, when you open a book and you get, like, the crease, the first, like, good crease in the book, in the spine, that's what it's like opening them. And it's really awesome. Like, it's really cool to have them in that condition because they are perfect. And it's all the amazing, like, first games you would have had when you first got the system. Your Super Mario, your Ice Climbers, you know... Ghosts and Goblins, one of the hardest fucking games on the console. Jeopardy, yeah. which I think is the only one I actually don't have. I don't have a Jeopardy game. I think Jeopardy is the only one out of all the games that I don't have. And then the two Zeldas. And the two Zeldas were the biggest ones, right? Cause, and when you open them, one, they all have the little styrofoam at the bottom. They all have the, you know... before you use this game in your NES console, little warning thing, and the manuals.
Oh,
and
nice.
the Zelda one has the freaking map in it. It has the freaking map that was included of Hyrule. And
oh,
it's,
nice.
I mean, they never unfolded it. I don't even think they unfolded it once. And I haven't either, because I don't want to. I've only, like, opened it once just to kind of look at it and gauge that it's all... It's perfect. Like, they were put in a box. They were out of the sun. They were... Obviously, the attic was really, really dry because they are perfect. Like, they could not have been in better condition, which is the best. So, that was my best find. My second best find was for $150. I bought a horizontal load, like an original NES, the horizontal loading, you know, with the little flap cover. Because I have a top loader.
The top loader, yeah, the smaller one.
Yeah, we have one of those. I mean, we had a whole bunch of the horizontal ones, but every time they broke, we just got rid of them. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, replacing the pin connector, which is what you do now.
Right.
And so, I found it online, and it was the console... A couple light guns, a couple NES turbo controllers, which we never had them, and they're awful. I don't know why anyone would want them, but and then a couple of the candy bar ones, and then it was, I think, 25 or 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
But they came in this little black Nintendo branded game case, mm-hmm. and so when you pull out the bottom tray, it holds the games up vertically, and each game was in its Nintendo sleeve with the manual.
Oh.
So I have, like, Metroid with a manual, Mach Rider with a manual, all the Marios with a manual, you know, one of the Zeldas with a manual. Mm-hmm. And pretty much all the manuals. I think the Zelda manual was the only one that was kind of dog-eared, probably because it was the one that was used the most.
Right.
But pretty much all the other ones are perfect. All the games are perfect. And then it also included... there was another box of games, and it was a couple games that had cases. So there was, like, Lode Runner with a case, mm-hmm. with a box. Some trick shooting game that was a light gun game that I'd never heard of with a box. And then Super C with a box. The box for Super C, not in the best condition, but not bad. You know, it's the box and the manual, so what do I care? Here's the kicker, though. And this is the weirdest thing that I didn't notice until, like, we were setting it up to test it out. So, on the back of every single game, controller, and the console itself,
mm-hmm.
is a social security number.
Really?
Yeah. And it's weird. It's super, super weird.
Interesting.
But... it makes sense thinking back then in the early, you know, early to late 80s, early 90s, stealing somebody's identity would have been really difficult. Would have been mm-hmm. more difficult than it is now, even if you had the social security number. And maybe to mark the stuff as his, they carved their social security number on it. Because it's the same, it's 3 digits, 2 digits, 4 digits. Like, it's a social security number. And so, each game has it carved into the back of all of them. So, pretty much that eliminates any major value from the cons, like, from any of the stuff. But it doesn't matter, because I really don't ever have an intention to sell them, and I needed the console for streaming, because the top loader doesn't have AVs, it just has the RF, the like antenna thing, so you couldn't, I couldn't plug that into the Elgato. That was the only reason I bought it, and because it came with all the other games and stuff, and most of the games I didn't actually have, which was nice. You know, there's always duplicates, and then that's one of the things when you're collecting... I think many collectors probably do the same thing. They buy the bulk groups of games because 90% of the time it's a better deal when you divide it out per game. And usually that's probably how people probably sell them online because, you know, like on eBay you see it all the time. Like there's like that one game you really want and then a whole bunch of shitty games. And usually they're doing that solely because they want to get rid of the shitty games and they know they won't sell them on their own.
Right.
So they just say, hey, you want this one game? I'll give you a decent price, but you got to take all these other crap games, too. And for me, I'm usually like, nah, whatever. You know, it's going in the collection. I'm probably not going to turn around and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Though, with those boxes, I already had a full box set of Conker's Bad Fur Day. So I turned around and I sold that on eBay. Yeah. And I'll never forget it because the guy I bought it, that I sold it to, ended up complaining about it. Because if you go on and look up Conker's Bad Fur Day, it usually runs like $80 to $100. For like, and in some cases even more. In fact, you know what? We'll do it live. I'm going to check right now just to see what it's going for. eBay.com, Conker's Bad Fur Day. And so, let's see. Yeah, here's a complete box, a complete set, $201. Box, mm-hmm. box and manual, $70. The game only, $65. Game only, $52. Box only, no game, $50. Complete version, $150, good condition. Complete box with no instruction manual, $175, right? Mm-hmm. Talking big bucks. Big right. bucks for a game. And so, I put the box up for like $70. And, right. you know, because it was like mint box, mint manual, no game, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, right. you know, 70, I think I put it up for like $65. And at the time, the game was selling for $65.
Oh, jeez.
And the game, and the arguably the game is like, here's a destroyed box for $35. That box is in really bad shape, but they still want $35. And my guess is they'll get it.
Probably, yeah.
Hell, this is a Conker's Bad Fur Day sealed VGA rating 90 in the plastic box, $355.
Oh, wow.
It's got 20 bids on it. It ends today. No, it ends tomorrow. My problem is I'll never understand why buying a game in that condition is worthwhile to a person.
I mean, if you're a collector, you know, you'll pay what you have to just to get it.
But wouldn't you want to play the game?
See, I don't know. Some collectors are different. They literally just buy sealed copies and they put it on the shelf. But my thing is they probably have more than one copy, so they do have copies they can play with. And the ones on the shelves are the sealed, you know, never been touched, only on display copies.
Mm, I guess.
At least that's what I would imagine.
I guess if you have the money to spend on a game like that, maybe you do just buy the cheap, shitty copy for like whatever, you know, with the ripped label and whatever.
Yeah, and then you have the sealed one on your wall.
Yeah, I don't want the sealed one on the wall. I just want the games in my collection. You know, right? I want them to be in good shape. I don't really want them to be crappy.
Right. No. Yeah.
Wait, what the hell is this? This says it's $550. All right, Bad Fur Day, Banjo-Kazooie, Pokemon Stadium, some game I can't... Oh, Shadowgate 64. Oh, that game is awful. GoldenEye, Mario Kart, Super Mario, Majora's Mask, and Ocarina of Time. It's not even a gold Ocarina of Time. Mm. Oh, and then okay, here's more games. Two Diddy Kong Racings, Nightmare Creatures. I remember that game. Star Fox 64, Perfect Dark, Battle Tanks, have it. Wave Race, have it. Jet Force Gemini, have it. Turok, have it. Oh, and there's Bad Fur Day with the manual. And then, oh, okay, and a console with three controllers and an expansion pack. All right, that's fair enough. Oh, most of the games he has a manuals for. Nice. All right, I can see that being worth $550 then. Yeah, I don't... Oh, my God. Really? Conker's Bad Fur Day. New sealed VGA 95, highest grade ever. $4,000. Nobody is going to buy that.
Huh.
Like, nobody is going to buy that. And I honestly wouldn't want it either, because I and my thing is I kind of think these cases that they put them in are stupid. They're not really...
What kind of cases did they put them in?
They put them in these big plastic cases. Here, I'll send you the link, because we're obviously doing this live. I can just send you the link. They put them in these big plastic cases. Like, the sealed game goes inside a plastic case. So, like, if you were to frame it, you'd have to frame it within that plastic case. Because if you take it out of the plastic case, it loses its VGA rating.
Oh, those. Yeah, okay.
And I think that's kind of dumb. I mean, they do it for all of them, but it just seems... Jesus. Nah. I don't like the idea of it.
Yeah. Mm. Right. I get you.
But...
It's a little ridiculous.
Either way... To bring the story back around where we started, I put it up. I put the box up with the manual and put it for $65. And I got a message from this person who watched the auction. It was like, "Hey man, I really think you should sell it for $30. I don't think it's worth that much." And so I was just like, I messaged back and was like, "Hey dude, link to other eBay auctions. The price is fair."
Right.
No message for like a day or two. Mm-hmm. The auction. I said the auction for a week, and. You know, whatever. And, like, a couple other people watched it. Nobody bid on it, though. You know, they were all probably hoping to wait for the buy it now and just get it at 65. And,
right.
So, whatever. Another message from the kid. Hey, man, you know, I looked at those links. I still don't think you should be selling it for that price. I think that's too high. So, you know, I'll offer you $35. And so I emailed him back. I was like, hey, here's the deal. You don't have to buy it from me. There are other people selling other, you know, various conditions of Conker's Bad Fur Day in, you know, with the box, with the manual, without the manual, with the game, without the game. Oh, feel free to buy it from somebody else.
Oh, God,
I was like, I'm not budging the price.
Someone's going to buy it.
Yeah.
I was at like, that price, yeah.
The price is fair. It is fair given the comparison of the other eBay auctions that were out at the time. So, you know, please stop contacting me if you're just going to keep trying to tell me to lower the price.
Right.
He bought it about 15 minutes after I sent that message.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. I was like, exactly. Yeah, there you go. You knew it was worth the money. Just buy it.
Right. He was just trying to see me get you to budge.
Budge. And I was like, nope. Because I didn't, the thing was, I didn't need to sell it. I could have just kept them both. I was like, whatever. And then, you know what? You know, the most expensive NES game I ever bought was Super Contra. Or no, I'm sorry, not Super Contra, Contra Force.
Contra Force. I'm sure what that goes for.
That's what I'm looking right at. $54. 54, or you can get all three of them, Contra, Super C, and Contra Force.
For $144.95.
Yeah, $144. Oh, look, Contra Force, clean and tested, $104.99. Trending at $125. Wow, nice. The Famicom one would be nuts.
$13.99.
It's only $14. Yeah, I get that. Oh, wow, look at the inbox one, $102, $129.
Why the hell does it have a picture of Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery on it, though?
From The Rock? I don't know.
Yeah.
That makes me think that it's possibly not real.
It's a fake, yeah. There's a $24 one.
Yeah, because look, you can tell that the sticker's been placed over the original.
Yeah. Mm.
That's funny. That's kind of hilarious.
100 for the Contra Force.
So pretty much what they did was they built, and that's probably why it's $13. Because they built probably built a cart and put a ROM in it, and yeah, mint box game, $500, $140. Yeah,
I just sent you a link. Check that one out. Look at the price. I mean, it's from Canada, so it's
I wonder if he drives. Plastic. I wonder if he drives a 2005 Mustang GT. His eBay name is Mustang 2005 GT Black. I bet it's black.
Well, it says it's from Canada, though.
Yeah, so it's $120 to ship it from Canada. Oh, you know what? I bet that's for the insurance because of the value of the auction. That's probably automated. Yeah, I mean, again, it's neat. It's super, super neat having them, like, in that condition. But my problem is at one, like, when you take the step to have it VGA, you know, authenticated, and they put it in that case, all you just did was make it really fucking expensive and now harder for you to sell. Right. Yeah, like, there's pros and cons, right? So you made it so that it's proven to be what it is. It's proved that it is what you say it is. A sealed copy in really good condition, and now it's worth X amount of dollars more, so now when you sell it for more, you're gonna have way less people trying to buy it.
Right.
And that part is kind of annoying. But yeah, Contra Force, I think I paid $56 and all I got was the game. I didn't get a manual or a sleeve or anything. I think I paid $56 a couple years back because I wanted to have it, right? Because I had Contra and a friend of mine had the Contra box and the box was in pretty shitty condition. So I gave him $20 for it just to, you know, be like, here's $20, leave me alone. And then, Super C, I have the full thing, and the box is in better condition. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And then Contra Force, I just have the game. So,
right,
yeah, Contra Force is a good one. I believe it was one of the last games made for the NES. I believe it was one of the last produced games for the Nintendo NES console, and that's partially why it's so expensive. Because it was one of the last games made. People were already adopting Super Nintendo. So I don't think it sold very well. But because it's Contra, I think that's why it's pretty good. Which is weird when you think about it this way, too, because the Contra that came out for Super Nintendo was called Contra 3, the Alien Wars, right?
The Alien Wars, yeah.
But technically, Contra, Super C, and then Contra Force would have been three games. So it technically is really Contra 4.
Four, yep.
But then, what's weird is, so you've got Contra 3, the Alien Wars for Super Nintendo, and then they actually made it for the Game Boy. They made Contra the Alien Wars for Game Boy, and it's a pretty much the same game, except I don't... I have it, and I just really want to play it now. But I don't believe there were any top-down levels like there were in the Super Nintendo one, because you didn't have the LR triggers to kind of spin your character, so it would have been no real way to do it. But otherwise, the game was pretty much equally as awesome.
If
you played it on like a game, if you played it on a Game Boy Color, like it kind of had like the NES style, because I mean the Game Boy graphics were so much watered down from Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
That it was pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. And in fact, you know, let me look up. I want to look up Contra Game Boy. And then like so many, and they had Operation C, because in I think in Japan it's called Operation C. I don't think it's actually called Contra, but yeah, Contra the Alien Wars, $12. Like, who's paying $12 for a freaking Game Boy game, right? Oh wow, they made a Contra Alien Wars Game Boy Advance game. Dang.
Yeah, I think it was not a remake, but
right. I'm gonna have to try and $22. Damn it. I'm gonna have to try and find one that's in like that's cheaper. Yeah, $23, $20. 48 for the full box. Pretty solid.
Ooh. Box and game or just the box?
Box and game. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, Alien Wars EX. That was the one.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe someday. When I have more, you know, more money.
Right. Gotcha.
But we're jumping topics like mad, but it's another thing that's kind of weird that I don't like when game companies do this, and they do it all the time. And it's like, you know, Uncharted 1, 2, 3, and 4, but Uncharted Golden Abyss was a game, right? And it's like, at what point when they go like out of the main story does it not count as a game? You know,
right.
like Halo 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 Guardians, but you had ODST and Reach, and technically neither of those were the Master Chief storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So do they count? You know, my problem is Uncharted Golden Abyss totally counts. It's Nathan Drake, you know, he's in all of these. So really, Uncharted 1, 2, 3, and then Uncharted 4, Golden Abyss for the Vita, and then technically we're on Uncharted 5, A Thief's End. I really hate the way they do that, because the way that Contra did it is very much the same. You've got Contra, Super C, Contra Force, Contra 3, The Alien Wars, Contra, The Alien Wars, the Game Boy game, and then you had...
Well, there's a Contra 4 for the DS.
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, I have it. Contra 4 for the DS. Yeah. And effectively what it is just like the original Contra for NES, but expanded. And, you know, cooler graphics, and it's you know, the power-ups are all, you know, from the newer games and stuff. It's super fucking hard, though. Like, it's straight up, like, Super C difficulty. It's stupid. I hate games like that. Like, Contra 3, The Alien Wars, I'm pretty good at. You know, I can usually make it pretty far before I need to do a continue. Further, if I have a partner. But... like, oh, Contra 4 on the DS, I bought it being so psyched, and then, like, played it and was like, oh my god, I can't beat the first damn level.
Right.
I'm, like, to this day, I think the furthest I've made it is the fourth stage. Because it's super, super hard. And I don't believe there are any, like, up, up, down, down, left, right.
Konami code.
I don't think there's anything like that on the DS version for me to, like, get extra lives or...
It might be.
You know, sneak ahead. Usually what I do is I just, I stay at the beginning and just spam kill enemies until I level up and get a whole bunch of free guys. And then it's not as big a deal if I die a lot. But it's like, that's like worse than grinding in Destiny. Cause like just waiting for like a few enemies to spawn through and like killing two of them at a time when you need to kill like, you know, 50 or 60 enemies to get a free life.
Right. Yeah. Just, not worth it.
custom Game Boy game replacement cases. You pick what? So somebody prints. Excuse me.
So basically what you could do yourself, unless he actually straight up makes a case.
Oh, no, he bought, he's got plastic cases that fit Game Boy games, and he prints a sleeve label and sticks it in, so it gives you a case. It's not like an original case for the Game Boy. But if you did have a printer plotter that could print on, like, thin cardstock, you could just get a high-res scan of a Game Boy game box and print and cut it, and then just cut and glue it and assemble it.
True. It's true.
Which honestly, like, that would be like the Toasty Stickers method of doing it, because that's, effectively, that's all Toasty Stickers is doing. He's got a printer plotter that prints on that material, and then he, you know, makes them and does them. He's, you know, he was the first one to do it, and I give him mad props, because it's a super awesome idea, and... You know, he already has it figured out. You know, he already knows kind of how to do it for everything else. So, pretty much all he has to do is just print the designs on them and send them out. You know? Right. But it's, you know, when I first saw that happen, I was like, damn, what a genius idea. Because it was like, it's so simple. You know, most people probably obviously aren't thinking of it that way, but like, obviously my background is in screen printing and you know, sign and digital, so obviously it's like I look at that stuff and I'm like, oh man, genius, like so simple. Yeah, wow, he's got like a bazillion of these game cases. Cover art, you pick. Wow, he's got like every game. Mega Man,
right?
Mega Man 2, Mega Man 3. That's a game I wish I had. Mega Man NES. Let's see, 25. Oh no, that's Mega Man 4. Mega Man X, got it. Yeah, Mega Man 9 press kit, VGA 85 collector's holy grail, $300. Mega Man 5, $85. That's the thing. I mean, in some cases, things like the Nintendo Virtual Console are fantastic because they make stuff like this super super redundant. Like, because there are probably many people who are just like, I don't care. I'd rather have it on the Wii U or the Wii. You know, back in the day when it worked.
Right. Yeah.
Because I think I bought Super C on my Wii. I think I bought a couple other games too. But, it's like, I'm not paying $75 for Mega Man 5.
Right.
Like, it's just not, I'm just not, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, you better off just either,
like, I'll just pay the $3.
Buying that collection, or yeah, just getting a cheap, whatever.
I'll just buy the virtual, like, I'll just buy it on virtual console if I really want to play it.
Yeah, somebody has that collection they made or whatever that has all of them, or the first.
Like, it's just not worth, like, the, in that case, that's when a game is just not worth it to me. Like, Mega Man 1. Oh, wow. Mega Man Lot 1 through 7, X 1 through 6, Rockman and Fort, Game Boy, NES, and Super NES.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Wow, he's got X 4 and X 5 for PlayStation. And a DS game, DS game mode.
Sorry, I recently just bought X4 and X5.
Yeah, X4, X5, X6 on PlayStation. Mega Man 8 on PlayStation. He's got Mega Man 1. Oh, Mega Man 7 on Super Nintendo. Yeah, that's a lot of game. Man, there's a lot of Mega Mans. Oh, X4. And there's the Famicom one. That's a pretty sweet collection.
Right.
But not gonna buy it. Oh, wow, he's in Massachusetts. The guy who's selling this in Massachusetts should be like, dude. I'm surprised nobody's ever done that. Like, opened up a video game arcade that's actually just, like, you're just playing your collection of games, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that would be a unique thing.
That'd be kind of cool.
Like, because you know how, like, there was a new video game arcade that opened in L.A.? I think it was in L.A. It's in California. And they, like, it's all retro game consoles, and you don't pay per game, you pay per time. So, like $20 gets you an hour.
Yeah, we have something like that here.
Yeah, and you can play for whatever you want, but it's like, they're all old arcade consoles, you know? They're all old cabinets. They're all in good shape, according from the pictures.
Right.
But you're playing all these older games. You know, there's no, like, time crisis or anything like that. And it's just kind of neat. But, like, at the same time, like, I'm surprised nobody ever just made a, you know, arcade-based, like, on actual game consoles. And there used to be, like, a restaurant place near me that was, like, it was kind of like Discovery Zone, but it wasn't, you know, they didn't have, like, a ball pit or any of that fun stuff, but they had, like, video game consoles and TVs. And so, like, while you would eat and play pizza, and I think they might have had skee-ball, which would have been, like, the only hands-on actual game, besides I think they might have had, like, pool tables and stuff, they had, like, video game consoles, and so you'd go get a game in a console and then go play it with your friends, like, in between, like, the pizza birthday activities.
Oh, nice.
Sadly, it did not last long. And I kind of get it. It just seems like a really small niche market. But at the same time, if I was a kid, I would have been like, I want to go there.
Right?
Not even for my birthday. Let's just go there for dinner, and then you guys can eat, and I'll play video games, and it's like a free babysitter. It's not free, yeah. I mean, you're paying for it.
Well, yeah. Still, yeah.
Wow, huge lot of 206 NES games. Man, that's a lot of video games. Mega Man 1 through 6, Snow Brothers. Jeez, it's $2,500 though. It's in New Jersey somewhere. It's funny. Oh, there's Contra and Super C. Master Blaster. Skate or Die. Oh, hey, Final Fantasy. Life Force, Millipede, Operation Wolf, Lode Runner, and Barbie.
Wonder if anyone ever bought that guy's video game collection.
You mean the $750,000 one?
Yeah.
Nope. I don't believe that it sold. Because that was in the article. It was referenced in the article on the, like, $100,000 fitness family studio stadium game not selling. Oh, here's Gauntlet 2. Oh, man, there's some good games in this guy's list. Star Wars, Battletoads, Star Soldier, Dick Tracy, worst game ever. Solomon's Key, Cobra Command, Wizards and Warriors. Oh, Dig Dug 2, I've got that. And I've got Ghosts and Goblins. Oh, Fasana Do, got it. Double Dragons. Dem Double Dragons, though. These games aren't in alphabetical order, which is kind of annoying. Oh, Mario is Missing. I bought that. What a waste of what a giant, colossal waste of time Mario is Missing is.
I agree. Like, I remember renting it.
I bought it because I was like, oh man, it's like one of the only Mario games for NES that we don't actually have. So I think I spent like $20-25 on it. And whatever, it came in, and like me and my brother were like so psyched. We're like, yeah, let's do this. Mario's Missing. We're going to find this man. We're going to find him. And then, like, we started up on the NES, and we're like, oh, it's basically, like, Super Nintendo. It's weird, because it's Super Mario World graphics, right? It's like the Super Nintendo graphics for Mario. Yep. But the game is educational.
Yep.
The whole fucking game is educational. And, like, when you're walking through the cities, right, and you see, like, the Koopa guys.
Yep.
They don't hurt you.
Nope.
And, like, the whole game blew my mind, because I was just like, I don't even get it. I was like, yeah. I can't jump on them. They don't hurt me. And the only guy you hurt is the dude at the end that's protecting Mario or whatever. And I was like, you gotta jump on him twice, and it's a joke.
It's the worst.
I imagine everybody who bought that game was like, I want a refund, because this is not what I meant.
Glad I rented it.
Like, I have Mario's Missing for the Mac. I have it for Macintosh. Or is it Mario's Time Machine?
DOS version.
Yeah, I have it on like Macintosh, because I had a Mac when I was a kid. Yeah,
gosh,
I mean, I have a Mac now, but Krusty's Fun House. Like, so many games. There's, I mean, this is just a ridiculous amount of games.
Yeah. Oh, Krusty's Fun House or whatever.
Yeah, GameAndSave.com. He must just be selling his entire collection. Oh, here's the whole list. Oh, he's got all the Adventure Islands. Damn it. Back to the Future. Back to the Future 2 and 3. Bomberman 1 and 2. All the Castlevania. Well, 3 Castlevanias. Yeah, that would be the only. I think there's only 3.
Castlevania.
That's one game I don't have for NES that I want. It's like Mega Man. I want Mega Man 1. I I want Castlevania. I don't want Castlevania 2. But it's just like all these games. Like, the problem is that everybody who has an NES still probably wants those games, and they're expensive.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
And I get it, you know. Like, here's Mega Man 1 through 6, $275. Like, ugh, no thanks. That's expensive, man.
Got that right.
Like, Mega Man 1 tested $80. Come on. Can't it just be like $10? Nope. Like, a lot of 46 Mega Man games plus many awesome extras. This looks like it's like, oh man, that's a lot of stuff. It's $1,200. What you see is what you get. Let's see. Oh, there's a whole... Oh, it's all the Game Boy Advance ones. PSP one, a Mega Man doll, a Mega Man book, a Nintendo Power episode with edition with Mega Man on it. Let's see, Super Nintendo's, Mega Man 64, a whole bunch of PlayStation ones, the NES ones. Oh, and then all the DS. Mega Man Star Force. Yeah, it's a lot of Mega Man games. It's a huge franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of always floats under the radar, though. I don't think people realize how big the Mega Man franchise is. It's no different than, like, did you see that Kanye thing the other day?
Oh, God, the Paul McCartney stuff?
Yes!
Oh, my God. Man, who's this Paul McCartney guy? Kanye West. He's going to be big because of Kanye West.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Nearly.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
It's like I kind of wanted to go and find some of those people on Twitter and be like, it's Sir Paul McCartney. I don't know if you know that, but he's knighted. Like, right? He's already huge. He's the reason Kanye exists, doing what he does, because the Beatles changed the music scene forever, for the better. You know? Please don't be so ignorant. Like, and that proves that they're ignorant.
Goddamn ignorant people.
They're ignorant enough to not even Google Paul McCartney and be like, damn, Paul McCartney, turns out he's been doing this for quite some time. Turns out he had a pretty big band called the Beatles.
Yeah, right?
Like...
Oh, he in that Bugs Band or whatever?
Yo, he was in a Bugs Life. So ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that it's 2015 and people are like, who's Paul McCartney?
Oh, God, yeah. Are you serious?
Like, I imagine he probably... It has to hit him, too. Like, you know, not like he met, like Nikki Cares, because he's a billionaire. Like, you know,
oh, God, yeah.
He's accomplished. He's a knight. He's Sir Paul McCartney. But, like, you gotta think, how annoyed would you be if you'd, like, spent your whole career defining, like, what the music industry is now? I mean, that's a vague thing to say, but he defined the music industry.
Right.
You know, with the Beatles. And, you know, John Lennon and George Harrison and Ringo. Like, they all played a big role in the way music is today.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have people be like, who's this Paul McCartney guy? He's going to... Like, I can't believe he even bothered to do a song with Kanye anyways.
Right.
My guess is he's probably thinking, like, what do I have to lose?
Right. So, I was like, hey, I'll help this kid out.
Yeah, why not? I don't know. It's just kind of a whole bunch of tomfoolery.
Right.
But, I don't know. It is what it is. That's the way things go.
That's the world. That's the way the world works.
Fucking Kanye. I don't know, man. Alright, well, we're probably at the hour mark, because I'm going to have to piece this together from the two clips before we had the technical difficulties.
Yep.
Do you have any first of the year shoutouts?
Yes, I do. A cosplaying friend, Sophie. Her Facebook page is Sophie Cosplay. You can check out all her little work in progress and some of the previous work she's done and all that nonsense on there.
Is she on Twitter?
Facebook. I think you can find her on Facebook.
All right, I'll just.
It's just, put Sophie Facebook. Cosplay. Yeah, I'll send the link to you, and we'll just link that to the website. Yeah.
You know what's totally cool, and it's totally just missing the end of the whole, like, ending the thing. When you're on the podcast app on the iTunes thingy, and you tap the like icon, it pulls up the post.
So people can read the post while they're watching, like, or listening to the podcast, and it'll show, you can't click the links, because I link the Twitter thingies and stuff, right. But you can see the Twitter handles, which is neat, so obviously they'll see the Facebook link in the podcast notes, if you just, when you're doing it that way, or if you're reading, if you're on the website, thedgcast.com, you can get it there too. Alright, anybody else you want to shout out?
That's about all I can think of.
Cool.
How about you?
I'm gonna shout out Christy Pride, only because I haven't, and she's awesome. For those of you who don't know, Christy Pride was one of the final three contestants on Sony's The Tester Season 3. And you know what? I'm going to shout out everybody. I'll shout out as many of them as I can recall. So I'll shout out Christy, who's at Christy Pride. I'll shout out Nicole. She was also on the show at N1 Asuka. It's actually Asuka, Asuka. I don't know. It's an anime thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Think so, yeah.
Then I'll shout out Charles at Reality Pales. Will, Achilles at Achilles Might. These will all be in the notes. I'll have to just put them in that way. Aaron Hansen, Ego Raptor.
You may know him.
Yeah.
And your boy J-Tight.
And your boy J-Tight and Sky Diddy.
So we'll
shout out as many of the Tester Season 3 crew as we can. Only because that'll be fun to shout them out, because they are all super cool. They're all awesome, super cool people. You know, if you're really into gaming and PlayStation specifically, you can go watch the Tester Season 3 on Sony's website. It is still up.
Yep. And on your consoles.
Yeah, that's right. You can watch it on the PlayStation thing too. Yep. So yeah, you know, check that out. That was really cool. Achilles was the one who ended up winning. But it came down to Achilles, Christy, and Reality. And the only reason it was kind of fresh in my mind was because Christy and Achilles were, like, tweeting images from stuff they took from the Season 3 of it. And she had, like, her name tag and, like, the final card for when they went to play Starhawk at the end.
Oh, nice.
So that was kind of neat. And obviously, I mean, Nicole is always a good friend of the DGCast. She's been shouted out before. We play a lot of Destiny with Nicole, so she's a super cool gal.
Yes, she is.
And so I think that'll do it.
That covers it.
This has been an episode of the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, and we will catch you
on the flip.